Welcome to What Is Going Om's Conversations with Money Show, where you get to learn the secrets of how love and money are interlinked in ways you never imagined, and transform your relationship with money for good. Here are your hosts, Sandy Sedgbeer and Sarah McCrum.
Hello, and welcome to part six of Conversations with Money, co-hosted by me, Sandy Sedgbeer, and energy coach and consciousness of money expert, Sarah McCrum. So, Sarah, here we are, part six. We started this at the beginning of February, when the world was a whole other place. And here we are, yes. 6 months later, which feels like it's passed in the blink of an eye, somewhere else entirely, with the whole world focused on money. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, I think money is going to be a very hot topic for not only months to come, but years to come because of everything that's been happening.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about reevaluating money for years, many of us, and I think now, whether we want to or not, it's being foisted upon us, and personally, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that it will give permission to people to have a look at it with fresh eyes who perhaps wouldn't have done otherwise. Many more people will be open to different perspectives on money than if life was going on apparently as normal.
You know, I was looking earlier at the topics that we've discussed each month, and on some level, you know, I mean, there was some kind of synchronistic inspiration there, because when you think about the deeper meanings of some of the topics that we've dissected and, you know, conversed about, I mean, we started at part one with a focus on the word love, which you say is the essence of money. And we've dissected our beliefs about value and worth, you know, which, if you follow this through the months, these conversations have naturally occurred. And then we've examined the power of attention and intention and the technology of manifestation. And then we've looked at our money stories and how we can dissolve those that no longer serve us and create better, more fulfilling stories, which is what everybody is looking at doing after this in every area of their life. And really, when I think about this, it's a powerful testament to the enormous power that our thoughts have, because so much of this is really about thought.
Yes, thought and feelings that go with those thoughts, a very important part of it, because they load the thoughts. Yes. It's like the feelings put the significance onto the thoughts.
Mm. And of course, then we come to tonight's topic, where we're going to tie it all together with a conversation about one final, much misunderstood concept, which for most people is inextricably linked with their desire for wanting more money. But we also happen to be facing this same question everywhere in our society today. And we're not talking about happiness here, are we, Sarah?
No, it's actually really fascinating, because money has always been viewed as the pathway to freedom. And as you say, we have experienced such a restriction in our freedom, possibly unprecedented, certainly in our lifetimes. And so freedom becomes an extremely important topic.
It does.
The link between money and freedom, really.
Yes, exactly. And I speak to so many people who are saying, you know, I've so much loved the time, the extra time that I've had with family, even though there's been anxiety around that and hardship. And, you know, it's making me reevaluate what I was working so hard for.
Yep, I hear it everywhere as well. And nobody wants to go back to where they were before.
No. So let's talk about the link between money and freedom. And, you know, most people think that if I have money, it will give me all the freedom that I want in the world. I can do anything I want. But I think that most people, when they get to a level of having money, that's not the case.
Well, it's really interesting the way they're associated so strongly in our minds, and at the same time we see pictures almost every day of very, very wealthy people living lives that are not the bubble of happiness that I think we imagine that money will give us. So it's interesting that we're able to maintain that belief that money is a pathway to freedom, and actually see that people who are very, very wealthy don't appear to be very free. But that doesn't mean that having no money is a pathway to freedom either, because it's very clear that not having enough money creates constant stress. And I know in my life, whenever I've not had enough money, and I can now recognize this in other people, it doesn't matter how much meditation or relaxation or those kinds of things I would do, there would always be this underlying kind of bubbling discomfort, stress, worry. I was very good at covering up. I would not say I was worrying. I would not say I was stressed, because I'd learned so much about how to manage my own stress. But somebody once called me on it, and she said, you know what, Sarah, you don't have enough money at the moment, and you're stressed all the time about it. Doesn't matter how you cover it up. There's a vibration that it gives out. And I see that now in so many people. And I think if we can admit that, just admit that this is really stressing me out, and that's kind of, it's almost like the right thing to happen. Not that it's right to be stressed, but if you don't have enough money, it really is necessary to find a way to get at least enough. The first stage is to have enough. And I mean, these are subjective things, but people have done research, and they say that there is an amount of money up to which it feels pretty good. And I think people need around $90,000 a year. From there upwards, they start to feel comfortable about money. And they say that around, I think, $200,000 to $280,000 a year is like a very sweet spot for people. And when it goes over there, money begins to add a new layer of complexity to life, certainly a new layer of responsibility, because you start to have to invest, you have to make decisions about it, and you actually have to manage the money you have. So it's like having a second job once you go over a certain level. And that might vary for different people. So that already starts to indicate some stuff around freedom, but I think freedom's a much bigger topic than the amount of money you have.
You know, I was going to tell you something then, and it's just disappeared out of my head completely. I'll have to come back to that one. It felt quite important. Oh, I know. I was going to tell you about an exercise I did some years ago, and it was based on Esther and Jerry Hicks' work. And they had this little experiment that you were to do. You were to get a notebook, and every night you would write down, you know, I received today $1,000. And you've got to spend that before you go to sleep. You know, so you write down all the things you're going to buy with that $1,000 or do or give away. And then the next night you have to double it. And then you have to keep doubling it. And so it goes on. And in the beginning, it's such a fun exercise. It's like, yeah, now I've got, you know, a castle and I've got the yacht and I've got this. And then you get to the point where you go, oh, goodness, I've got 6 castles and 10 yachts and I don't know what to do with this money. And it's becoming a burden now, because I've got to think of ways, you know, so you can track, you know, the thought processes around it and the emotions.
Yes, I remember that exercise. I think I didn't last very long with it at all. Because most of those things I didn't really want. I don't want a castle and I don't want a yacht. There are things that I would love. For me, I think to be able, I had an idea yesterday of something I would love to do, and immediately I thought, that would be something really interesting to invest in, and I started to look at how could it work as a business and would it be worth investing in. So I think there are things as I grow and continue to grow my relationship with money, I can see that I could invest in bigger and bigger changes to the world that I really believe in, and that would satisfy me. For somebody else, it might be something completely different. And I can create a place where people, that's my next thing I want to do, is create a place where people can come and we can do research and we can learn stuff and things like that, all around the kind of work that I do. That feels very cool to me. But the yacht and the castle stuff, that doesn't do it for me, but it might do it for somebody else. But with all of those things, the funny thing about freedom, the image that most people have of freedom is really an image of no responsibility. And if you're in Australia, I don't think this will be the same in other cultures, but in Australia, where I live now, the image of freedom is pretty much being able to hang out on the beach with a surfboard. I don't know what people do if they don't surf, but it's such a strong image, that kind of beach lifestyle, all the time in the world, can do what I want, talk to whoever I want, whenever I want, and there's no restraints or constraints on my life at all. But the reality of having more money is that two things. One is that it's not that likely that you have no responsibilities if you have more money, because the money itself becomes a responsibility. And the other thing is that if you're really free and you feel free inside yourself, so not free and unhappy, but free and genuinely happy, and you feel connected and you have good relationships around you, so you have some of the effects of freedom, it's very unlikely that you would want to sit on the beach all day. You might do that for a year or two if you've worked really hard for years. You might need a year or two to recover and to get rid of all the burnout sort of stuff that you've been building. But after that, ideas start to come up, contribution, that you want to contribute. And then when you want to contribute, you start to work, you start to create things, you start to produce things, you want to have conversations with people that are going to do something in the world. So I think that that's just part of the essence of being human. We are contributors. We love actually to give our skills and our gifts and whatever it is to other people, or to share them with other people, which is working. But there's a so much better way of working and contributing than what most people do at the moment, and that's what I call freedom.
Somebody I knew once said to me that man is a problem-solving animal. If you take away his problems, he doesn't know what to do with himself. And I think that there's a certain amount of truth in that. I think, you know, we have to have some kind of purpose, something that gives our life meaning.
I read the most fascinating interview the other day, directly linked with what you're talking about, which was a very honest interview with a guy who spent many years of his life trading on the market, on the stock market, in a very manipulative way. And so he saw through all the systems. And he talked about two layers of money. The layer of money where people work and create value, which other people receive and pay for. And then the layer of money where people make money out of money, so through things like currency trading, foreign exchange trading. So they're just playing the dollar against the yen, for example, and trying to catch some money out of the plays between the different currencies. And what he showed in this interview is that the only people who are really happy with money are the people who are aligned with their purpose in their way of making money. And when you either work just to make money, which of course many people do, or you make money out of money, so you're making money just for the sake of making money, that is a path to unhappiness and disaffection within your own life. And I thought that that was fascinating, coming from somebody who really knows the making money to make money world intimately, and has seen the consequences to people of being like that. So I feel that anything that we can do, and this is what my work is all about, to help people make money doing what they love, being on purpose, doing what feels deeply aligned for them from the inside, that is really worth a really worthwhile search for freedom that is actually freedom with money, freedom that is rewarded. It's not freedom combined with some notion of poverty or insufficiency.
You know, I think that there is definitely a... oh, God, my head. I don't know what's happening tonight. It must be the lateness of the hour, but my words, I'm losing them.
Because, you know why, Sandy? Let's just draw attention to this. What we're talking about is such a powerful thing. When you start to talk
energy.
About things like freedom, the energy of it
yes.
is very subtle
yes.
and it's so extraordinarily liberating that it actually messes with your mind a little bit, because the mind doesn't really like freedom. The mind is all about control. And freedom comes from the soul and the heart and this life impulse that flows through us, this pure life energy that is what life is all about. So it starts to touch us into the essence of who we are. And when you're running a radio show, you know, you sort of need to keep your mind on the clock and the questions and things like that. So it's actually messing with your system. It's very relevant to the conversation that we're having.
Well, exactly. And I mean, this is exactly what we have been doing with this kind of experiment, in a sense, because these conversations have been part, you know, conversation, but also part course. And what we're doing is purposefully using conversation and dialogue to dissect certain myths and misconceptions that we all have and stimulate our minds really to look at them in a new way. So we're kind of breaking things down a bit, and I didn't expect it to be breaking my mind down, but it is quite interesting to actually experience that happening.
Yes, and it's such a, what I love about this way of doing things is through such an informal way of communication where we don't have to do fancy exercises. We don't have to sit for 2 hours with our legs crossed and our eyes closed when, you know, the kids are screaming around the house or whatever it is. There's all this stuff going on in your life. But through the simple kind of thing like conversation, with some real honesty in the conversation, real alignment as well, people can have life-changing experiences and recognitions. And I know this, funnily enough, I was looking at a YouTube video that I put out some years ago and looking at the comments on it. And it was just about changing your relationship with money. And it was there was a short activation, so like a bit of a meditation, and then a talk. I was reading the comments and people were saying, oh my God, my whole life I've believed this about money, and suddenly I see the freedom in it. It's like they literally woke up from listening to this little recording. That's actually what we're doing. We're sharing through conversation, and the power of this, I want to draw attention to it, in a world that does feel rather controlled at the moment. You know, we're seeing spikes, COVID spikes in parts of Australia at the moment, which are actually testing spikes. Like the more you test, the tests can produce lots of false positives. That's been proven all over the place. So the more you test, the more cases you're going to get. I don't think they're cases of people who are sick. They're cases of positive tests. But, you know, so that the control is constantly lurking there, and it's here, and it feels really important to me that we know how to transmit, how to share freedom and access to ways of working with money, and how do you actually communicate with money, and how do you make money work for you when the system has let you down? Because that's what this work is about, in a way. If the system's working really well for you, you've got a great job and you're totally satisfied with money, you're not probably going to be that interested. But if the system doesn't feel good, and your relationship with money is making you feel horrible, poor or burnt out or anything else, then you get interested in this. And like, how cool is it that by learning how to talk about it, you start to help other people wake up to their relationship with money? So it's very deliberate that we are doing this through conversation, because it's one of the most powerful ways as human beings that we change ourselves. We learn from each other. And people wake up as a result of listening to this kind of material.
Yeah, and this is the thing that really gets my juices flowing, to be able to shift perceptions And I love it when it happens to me. You know, I'm looking at a sign in front of myself that I wrote earlier, which is, money is not our problem. Our problem lies in what we think about money. And if we just change our thought, then we change our entire experience. And it's as simple as that. And that applies to everything. If we just look at something from a different perspective, everything about it changes.
Yes, and let's pick up, because just before you had that little blip in your mind, you were talking about, something very interesting, which comes, you've just mentioned money's not our problem, and you were talking about human beings needing to solve problems. And I think that if you add in the creative piece to that, so actually, we are fundamentally creative beings. That's the essence of who we are. We forget that most of the time, and we restrict our creativity, or some people do. We do some art, and we have some creative thoughts every now and then, or we play some music, or we listen to somebody else's music as a substitute for our own creativity. But if you think that true creativity, in a way, is also a kind of solving problems, it's an improving the world, it's contributing. Like, my husband's an artist, and he's contributing beauty to the world. So he's solving the problem of ugliness, in a way. Mm. But our lives are creative. So if your life is about some kind of purpose, you're contributing something good. You believe it's good. It's an improvement to the world. It's like you don't really want to contribute destruction. So you contribute something good, which means you're solving a problem of an aspect of the world that isn't working so well. And then that problem-solving machine of a human being becomes a creative human being. When our creativity is freed up, then we really talk about freedom. Then we know. We don't wonder. We know. I know that whatever I want to put myself to, whatever I want to create in the world, whatever I want to contribute, and this is not like a fluffy thing I'm saying, I can put my energy behind that. And there are so many ways in which things can happen way beyond the scope of what I'm personally capable of doing, that if I'm truly aligned with what I believe in and my own sense of purpose, extraordinary change is possible. And if more of us do more of that, the world will start to feel like a very, very different place.
Mm. Yeah. You know, Stuart Wilde wrote a book called The Trick to Having Money, or The Trick to Money is Having Some, which I thought was a great title. Yes. But, you know, what I've learned from you over the months is really the trick to having money is really understanding love.
Yes, and knowing love in your being. It's being love. And that's such a fancy way of talking. But to engage, I used to ask clients, I said, supposing, let's just do like an experiment for a moment, and imagine that life really is made out of love. The fundamental energy of life really is love. And therefore you are love and you are loved. What difference would that make to you? And it's almost impossible to answer the question, because it's like, oh my goodness, it made me realize, and it made them realize, how much we live in a world where we don't see it that way. We don't see that love is the fundamental underlying essence of who I am, of who you are, of who that guy is down the road who whistled at me or insulted me or did something. It's what we all are. And to contemplate that, and to contemplate the fact that that's what money is too, that changes everything. And so what I would love to talk about a bit in the second part of this is the way in which money somehow is a path to freedom as well as it's not, because this is such a beautiful contradiction.
Well, let's go to the break now and we can come back and start talking about that. You're listening to Conversations with Money with me, Sandy Sedgbeer, and Love Money, Money Loves You author. Go ahead, Sarah.
Sorry, I was going to say, and me, Sarah McCrum.
I thought you were going to say, and me, Sandy Sedgbeer. Okay, and in this final episode, we're talking about the secret link between money and freedom. We'll be back with more conversations with and about money after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. Own Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of On Time's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library compiled by recognisable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys. Plus, free book excerpts, audios, and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who've walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com. I'll see you there.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Sarah, before I hand it over to you, I just wanted to share something that I read today, and I thought it was so pertinent to tonight's show that I had to include it. It was a channeled message, actually, and it was in a book by Geoffrey Hoppe of the Crimson Circle. And in it, I think it was Adamus Saint-Germain was talking about money, funnily enough, and it said that everyone has the same opportunity for energy. Just like everyone has the same access to sunlight, no one has more or less than anyone else. We like to think that some people are born into wealth and opportunity, but the truth is they have the same energy potential as everyone else. In terms of energy, we're all born equal, and we're all...
Does somebody's consciousness do this? And why does somebody's consciousness work with poverty? Why does somebody's consciousness work with wealth? Why is somebody born into a poor family? Why do they get educated in poverty? Why does somebody else get educated in wealth? So it's a really interesting thing that's being said there. And at the same time, I think it raises some genuine questions, which are difficult questions to answer. So I think there's tremendous freedom in understanding, and this I have learned also from my book, Love Money, Money Loves You, and the conversations with money that I had. I have really understood that everybody does have access to the energy of money. What I've seen is that the way people are educated for wealth or for poverty, like, those are radically different circumstances. I know about business. It's unimaginable in a family that grows up poor. So the Chinese are really interesting. They say that there are three things that make up human life. They talk about earth luck, which is feng shui, which is your environment. They talk about heaven luck, which is your destiny, really. And then they talk about the man luck, which is your education, the things that you experience as a human being. And the work that I've done, and I think it's probably not a good time to get into it too deeply, but the work that I've done suggests that our previous lives have a huge bearing on the choices we make as a soul as to where to come into this life. Do I get born into a very wealthy family, a poor family, good circumstances, outwardly poor circumstances, emotionally rich circumstances, or emotionally impoverished circumstances? But what I have learned, because that, obviously, we could talk about that for days. What I have learned is that whatever circumstances we've chosen are a gift to us as a soul. In terms of the whatever it is that the soul is looking to experience here, and I look at the moment, I see the Black Lives Matter movement unfolding, and these kinds of questions are very up in the air at the moment, because you might ask, well, why did somebody choose to be born into this skin color, this circumstance? Why would anyone choose, for example, to be born into a life situation where maybe they're going to end up in prison for not actually really doing anything at all? Things that are grossly unfair by our modern definitions of civilization or justice. I have come to realize that people who are born into very challenging circumstances are a gift to the whole world. And when they recognize that, there is something that they can give to other people in the world that is so priceless and so precious that we would never, ever dare to treat them the way that we treat so many people. And it's not only about color. But we have somehow allowed ourselves to forget the gift that each human being is, and be hoodwinked almost, and hoodwink each other into thinking things that we can't possibly really believe about what it is to be a human being, and to hoodwink ourselves somehow to actually believe that people are different in some really stupid ways because of the color of the skin or because of the family they were born into. It's like we forget that we're all surrounded by air and sunshine and energy, and that I breathe air and you breathe air and and energy the same. And so this kind of massive collective forgetting and allowing ourselves not to see what we're doing, even though we crave freedom, we talk about freedom, we talk about abundance, we talk about love and peace, like the poorest person in the world can think about and long for those things. So we all have the language in us. This is just such an extraordinary phenomenon that happens. And I don't really want to talk about why that might happen. You know, there are so many different levels at which you can look at why that might happen. But I feel that what's important is to remind ourselves, whatever the hardship is of our life. And, you know, I can say, as somebody who was born into a relatively comfortable life, financially it was not hugely comfortable, but I can never say it was uncomfortable. and emotionally it was not hugely comfortable, but again, I can't say it was uncomfortable. But we all have our own thing, you know, we all have the ways that we torture ourselves, and some people have much more physical and much more challenging circumstances. But whatever it is, whatever the story is of your life, in the heart, in the essence of your life, is this gift that you bring to the world in who you are. And if only all of us were tuning into what's this person's gift. What is it that this, what's the jewel that this person is really, rather than what are the outward circumstances of their life so far, and who knows what they're going to be in the future. I just feel that the world would work, it would just naturally work if we would see that. And that's what's true about human beings. Not what the stories we tell are kind of little fabrications that have a veneer of truth. But when you get deep underneath it, you just need to sit down with anybody who is poor. I've sat with so many children, because I used to interview children for the BBC, who were children who were beaten every day by their parents in one country, and children who were so ignored in another country, they didn't have any voice at all, and children who had escaped from one of the most horrible wars in modern history, and children who were living in the middle of an ongoing war, children who were living in circumstances where they could see through. They were being told things by leaders that they could see what was going on. They could see the lies they were being told, all of this stuff. But every single one of those children was a gem, you know, that is this beautiful human being who has a story to tell. And we know that sometimes about kids, and then we forget it about ourselves as adults. We allow this wool to pull over our own eyes and other people's eyes, and then we say, oh, children, you know, they're so beautiful, and out of the mouths of babes, all this, we think they say beautiful things, but the truth is we're all like that.
Yes.
And that's a path to freedom, and then money will follow that. The interesting thing, the thing that I wanted to say before the a little bit earlier, is that funnily enough, the freedom that I now experience came because I pursued this relationship with money. That is the irony. I didn't pursue money. Money has increasingly come and will continue to increase. I can see that because of the work that I do. And because the work I do is valuable to people. But money, the freedom did come because I followed this thread of understanding and connecting with money. But it didn't come because I chased money. It came because I learned what it means to actually love it with true love, not greed, not insecurity, love coming from neediness, but to really embrace what I've been teaching and what we've been talking about in these sessions. And so it's a really curious little trick there, that money doesn't give you freedom necessarily, but actually somehow this path to prosperity and generosity, like generosity of spirit, does open up freedom. Very fascinating.
It is, and I think, you know, it would be good for all of us to, you know, spend a few minutes really contemplating what our definition of freedom is. Because I do think you're right that we, you know, we mistake freedom, you know. For me, if somebody said to me, well, what would money buy you? For me, it's the freedom of choice. It's the freedom to choose what I want to do and how I want to live. Somebody once said to me, what would you do if all, you know, if you didn't have to worry about money? And I said, I would do what I do now. And I would do it just because I love doing it. And I wouldn't necessarily do it for money. Anybody could have what I have to share because I love sharing. That's it. So it's choice, isn't it?
Yes, the interesting thing about choice is that the more choice you have, so I find choice really fascinating, because as you open up your choices, it can actually be quite overwhelming, because You're so free. We are actually so radically free then. When we start to recognize, even wherever we are, how much choice we have. You know, we often tell the story, I'm not free, I have no choice. But we have the choice in how we think in every moment.
Yes.
We have the choice of what ambition or imagination we have about what we want to create in the future. So I might be trapped now in a really difficult situation. You know, I might have had an accident and not be able to move right now. Very common circumstance for people. But that doesn't prevent me from dreaming and imagining and creating a different future. This is what healing is based on. There are many stories of people who were told they would be in wheelchairs for the rest of their life who are not, because they dared to imagine a different future.
Yes.
And there are many stories of very wealthy people who were born extremely poor because they dared to imagine something different. So we actually have that freedom of choice. We have it already, but very often we don't exercise it because it's actually such a responsibility to realize that you can choose. And it's sometimes easier to blame something, whether it's a lack of money or whether it's the people around you or the circumstances or what's going on in the world or the government or the banks or the financial system or something. God is a good one as well. It's great to blame God, because then you don't actually have to do anything. You can stay where you are and wish to be somewhere different in a way that's not very powerful. If you wake up to the freedom you actually have, even if it's just how you think and how you feel. We have been shown time and again by the masters of manifestation, if you like, from Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, onwards, the power of our minds and our feelings, our thoughts and our feelings, yes, and our imaginations and our creativity. So, I think freedom and choice are extremely powerful things to kind of switch on in you rather than switch off.
You know, I think I know that you have produced hundreds of recorded activations, and I've experienced some, and they're very powerful. Could you share something, an activation perhaps, that will actually give us a taste of freedom, an experience of it? I'm a great believer in giving people experiences.
Yes, absolutely. Probably we're halfway there already from what we've been talking about, because when we talk about it, there's a really interesting thing to understand about energy. When you talk about it, you actually are like conjuring up that energy in yourself, especially if you talk sincerely, like I'm really sincere about what I'm talking about, and I'm experiencing that freedom as I speak. So what we'll do now is I will share that experience a little bit more directly with anybody who's listening. So what I suggest you do, if you can, is sit somewhere where you can close your eyes. But I realize some people might be listening while you're driving, so I won't make this a dozy kind of activation. I'll make this a very enlivening activation so you can experience freedom as you're driving or doing whatever you're doing. So we're going to take a minute or so to simply relax and let the weight of your body drop down. So what's heavy naturally goes down. So let what's heavy in you go down. It's like you're dropping it into the earth. And you can feel that. You may feel heavier on your chair. You may feel the sinking down into the earth. One part of freedom is allowing heavy to be heavy and allowing light to be light and not judging either of them. So this is a physical way to allow heavy to be heavy, and you'll start to feel lighter in parts of you and heavier in other parts. And there is nothing wrong with heavy. And there is nothing right with light. They're just what they are. And breathe into your lower belly so you're breathing fully. Feel your lower belly expanding and contracting as you breathe. Like breathing the essence of freedom, which is energy. Energy is the coding of life. As you breathe in fresh energy, you are literally breathing in the essence of your own beautiful life. And allow yourself to open to freedom, a true, grounded, rich experience of life. And feel how that feels. Feel the energy of it. Feel the very simple power of it. You don't need to be somewhere out there or anywhere other than where you are right now. It's a simple feeling of being connected, of being whole in yourself, just as you are. A feeling of being beautiful as you are. It's a feeling of life working. Life is with you. It's very clean. It's very clear. It's very simple. It's like being able to see all the colors, the richness of life in this very moment. It's all here. In truth, you are free. You are creative. And you have a life, circumstances, a situation in which to express that freedom. The more limited your life is now, the greater your opportunity to express freedom. That is your gift. Okay, so that's a little taste of true freedom. As a human being.
You sent out a blog post recently, which was coincidentally or not, called The Call to Freedom. And you talked about freedom being the liberation for the human spirit, that it's something we long for in our hearts and souls. And you also said that you believe it's the most important experience we can share at this time, that the challenges of 2020 are calling us to discover freedom. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, what I've observed over 30 years of learning about energy and solving problems in different ways from other people because of that knowledge is that whenever something is shouting really loudly in my life, the opposite is always growing beneath it. So if I feel really confused, I know that clarity, a new level of clarity is arising within me and the old confusion is being released. If I feel full of doubt, I know that a new level of trust is growing inside me. So when I observe the world, what I see is a new level of control that I mentioned a little while ago. Mm-hmm. Everywhere, I mean, across the whole world, we think it's hard in the very developed countries. It's much harder in the middle countries. I think perhaps the poorest countries, it's a bit better. But I know people in countries where there are military checkpoints at every block and they can't go shopping without papers that get checked at every block. My VA in the Philippines was describing that. It's like, oh my goodness, we don't have that. So we are seeing control around the world in a way that we have never seen in our lives. And people often comment on the fact that we're more controlled now than we were during the Second World War. That tells me that freedom is rising. And this control, this is the releasing of an addiction to control that human beings have had for a long time, an obsession with a controlling form of power and a victim mentality that goes with that. You know, we're either on one side or the other. And really the victim mentality is as controlling as the power expression of it. That's what I discovered through all my work. When we're being a victim, we're trying to control everybody around us in a strange kind of way. So that the signs are everywhere to me now that the control obsession that humans have explored for generations is getting so loud that I know that freedom is growing underneath it. And I really want to say, take hope from that. We are actually seeing the evidence of it. I have never seen anything like the curiosity that people have now for alternative views about what's going on. People are researching in their millions and millions, videos and audios and podcasts and things that just give them a different sense. And some of it might be true and some of it might not be true. I don't think that matters. I think what matters is that there's a curiosity and people are not any longer accepting the mainstream story as being the only version of truth that we should trust. That means people are searching for freedom. And it's a bit of a clunky search, which things always are to begin with. So we stagger around a bit and we research things. I watched a video a few weeks ago and afterwards I couldn't believe that I'd been watching it. It was like, it turned out to be a kind of far right, really weird agenda that was like difficult to stomach. I'm actually glad I watched it because it helped me to understand how things work. And this isn't really a political thing anymore. I think that people are hungry for a new level of truth, which gives us a new level of freedom. So In an environment like this, whatever you believe is going on, really from every extreme, there are so many views now. It's just mind-boggling. I was reading about a story in Australia where in one area where there's apparently a bit of a spike, a COVID spike, half the population there don't even believe in COVID at all. And then the other half are terrified of it. What an extraordinary situation to be happening.
Yes.
So freedom is calling us everywhere, and we need to listen to that call.
Yes. For me, it's like we're getting an opportunity to really connect within to what feels truthful and right for us. You know, we're yes. practicing discernment, which, you know, we've got the freedom to do that. We're almost out of time now, Sarah. I just want to say before we go, I know that you've got a free course that you're offering, an introduction to Thank You Money. Just say a little bit about that and where people can access it.
The introduction to Thank You Money explores a little bit how we can do more good, which we've been talking about, purpose, make more money and feel amazing at the same time, which is what I'm talking about all the time. And you can find it on a little bit of a funny link. It's bit.ly/moneyom. Money, O-M.
Sarah, this has been an incredible experience the last 6 months. Thank you so much for joining me in it.
And thank you, Sandy, for inviting me. I've absolutely loved participating in it and sharing this.
Right, well, you can learn more about Sarah McCrum's book, Love Money, Money Love You, and her Consciousness of Money seminars and workshops and online courses at sarahmccrum.com and theconsciousnessofmoney.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I'll be back next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Until then, it's goodbye from me, Sandy Sedgbeer.
And goodbye from me, Sarah McCrum.